Hello and welcome to the Good Vibes Film Club, the audio show that's like a book club but with films. Every week we invite you to join along with our club and watch the films along with us in between the episodes, not physically at the same time because we don't have enough seats or space. My name's Adam Denby and I'm joined every week by my better half, the lovely, the enchanting, the mesmerising, Sarah Warner.
Adjective of the week, mesmerising.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm all right. I want a bit more of a response, like some feeling.
I'm excited to do this, but I'm also...
You're also looking forward to Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Game of Thrones is starting again tonight, so I'm like, let's get on with it, because 9 p.m. I'm out of it. I don't care if we're still talking, I'm out of
so
it at 9 p.m.
So we're back to our usual schedule. Last week was Captain Marvel, week we resumed with the two films, so I'll get to in a second. So as always, we'll be talking about each film in depth, so if you haven't seen the films and you would like to... Go watch it. This is your spoiler warning. Equally, if you're not too bothered about these films but would like to be entertained for the next 60 minutes, stick around. Remember to stay tuned to the very end of the show to find out which films we'll be covering next week. Don't let yourself fall behind. And I should say, before we go into the first half, which films are we doing this week?
This is like our oddest selection.
Yeah, go on.
We are doing West Side Story and Space Jam.
Yep. Well, I see... I've written here crime drama, West Side Story.
I think when you Google it, yeah, that comes up as like the genre crime drama. And I think if you're looking for a gritty crime drama, don't watch West Side Story. I think you'll be confused.
So a little bit of background on this. It's one of your favourite films? It's an important film to you that I've never seen.
Yeah.
But I did do it in music when I was at school.
Yeah, I think we did it as well.
Made me hate it. So I said to Sarah, if I'm going to watch it, I've got to get a little bit drunk. And so my notes might not make that much sense this week. So I'm relying on you because you obviously know a lot more about the film than me.
Okay.
You might have to just guide me through it. And also my notes will probably just be garbage.
Yeah. I had to go through Space Jam sober. So
So I picked Space Jam. So it'd be something that would annoy you equally. Yeah.
Not only was I sober, I was hungover from the night before. I was not in a great mood.
Okay, so because Game of Thrones is in an hour and a half, let's get started now.
Yep.
Ready? Into the first film?
Yep, go for it.
We're back with the first film, which is West Side Story. That great intro, don't need to be reminded. What's this? Is this Star Wars?
No.
Oh, I wish we were watching Star Wars.
Not the Phantom Menace.
Right, so do I need more backstory? We kind of covered. I didn't want to watch this film. I wasn't that excited, but I thought I'll do it for you. And you did say to me beforehand, you know, at least try and have an open mind, didn't you?
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't like it.
Like, should we just dive into the plot?
Yeah. Well, the plot, I mean, you can go into more detail. It's essentially more modern Romeo and Juliet.
I'm supposed to be doing this bit.
Okay, I'm just telling you. That sums it up.
It's about gangs in the streets fighting, stabbing each other,
so
playing basketball.
It's a little bit of stabbing.
And about Italians or something. People who aren't from...
I forgot it. Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
Not Italians.
So, I've put boys dancing in the road, sharks.
Right, you've got the Sharks, which are the Puerto Rican gang, and the Jets, which are the, like, New York white people gang.
The Italians.
Well, they're probably... They have a go at the Puerto Ricans because they're, like, immigrants, because they're first-generation immigrants, they're foreign, so they don't like them as much. But the fact is, a lot of the Jets, even though they were born in America, a lot of their parents, will be, like, European, like, Italian, Polish, whatever. So they still come from immigrants.
I always really struggled with this, like, trying to learn growing up about where people are from and what it... Like, when...
We're all from everywhere.
Well, yeah, that's it. It's like, oh, well, this country, this is made up of these people. It's like, but hang on, that's a different country. And you're like, well...
Because we all moved somewhere at some point. We're all immigrants. Like, we're all descended from immigrants.
So when's like a cap? Is it like everyone here who's been here for like the last 100 years, where you're from? Before that, you're from somewhere else.
I don't know.
This film didn't help the case growing up. That's all I'm saying.
It confused you. Okay.
That's pretty much the... the plot, except the my main beef with it is that it's a musical, and I think you were saying that there are parts of it which are almost like it's a stage show but put into a film. So like the opening, for example, where you got those stupid lines on the screen.
Yeah. It's just the overture.
Sorry, I'm being really negative to your film. I will stop.
I'm going to rip into Space Jam. It's fine.
That's true. No, that's what people want. It's just a load of lines, and it lasts 5 minutes.
Yeah, because
we paused it halfway through, and like it's still going on.
Traditionally, when you go to the theater and see a musical, they will play an overture, which is kind of the musical highlights from the show. The orchestra will play it, and it's just while you sit, and everyone's sort of the last few people getting in their seats, and it just sort of sets the atmosphere, sets the scene. And then it starts.
And then cut forward to 2019, yeah. People aren't getting ready. They're sat on a sofa.
Okay, I don't know if Spielberg will put that in, okay?
Yeah. I thought that was an iconic part. It turns out to be not the New York skyline, because it's not really a skyline shot. It's just sort of like...
Well, it is. It's like a shot. It's supposed to be like buildings on one of the islands. Not like skyline. It's sort of...
No, I know. It's not. That's what I'm saying. The word
it's like, I don't know what the angle is. It's not bird's eye, but it's not skyline.
It's just like a landscape shot.
Yeah.
Overhead, not overhead, but between overhead and skyline.
This
view.
Isn't very important. Basically, there's quite a long opening and
you
it's just
a
music.
You have time to think about it, put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the most entertaining. Probably if you were sat in a theatre listening to it, it'd be a bit more atmospheric rather than just sat on your sofa.
But if you don't like the music, then you just sat there for 5 minutes.
But it's Bernstein. It's amazing.
Yes, that's if you like the music.
Which it's amazing.
So we're not into problem. So the general film is kind of about these immigrants and the New York gang fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I'll quickly go through plot bits, and then we can move on to thoughts and problems, because problems just keep jumping out every time I go through a little bit of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of about the gangs who want to dance with each other, and they get together in like a weird basketball court. And then he sees this woman, a girl, one of the guys.
You want to gloss over what you say makes no sense.
There's a guy who's carrying coke. And he gets convinced by another
guy.
Can
I do it? Can I do it?
Let me finish. He's got coke in his hands, and the guy is like,
come on. He works in a shop.
Will you come to the party? And he's like, no, I'm out. I've left that life behind me. And he's like, come on. And he's like, okay. And they go to the basketball court, which is like in a building, and they dance with each other.
It's just a dance at a local gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it's just a basketball court, because I've never been to one of those.
It's a gymnasium that they're using for a function.
The guy carrying the coke sees this woman.
Maria,
and he likes her. But the problem is they're from sort of rival gangs.
Yeah.
Even though he's not really in that gang anymore, but he's still American. Is he American?
Yeah.
He's Italian.
No, he's...
He's called Tony.
Yeah, but they call him a Polak, which, hang on, let me check so I don't say something really stupid.
So at the end of the dance, they have like a weird scene with each other, fall in love, weirdly in love, actually. I think a bit too in love for people who've just seen each other.
It's intense, love at first sight.
And then I guess they arrange to have
he's
like...
He's from Polish descent. That's what I thought, but I thought I'd check.
It's very confusing with the immigration stuff. I'm assuming there's some point there, but I'm just not getting it.
I'll get on to it.
Okay. We go to a candy shop, which is open at midnight for some reason.
Docks, yeah.
And they're all like playing backgammon. And then they say, let's have a brawl. And then they arrange the brawl.
Right, can I just elaborate?
Can I get to... Okay, go on.
Right. So we're in New York.
Yep.
You got the Jets, which are... These are New York guys who are born in America, but quite often their parents or grandparents or whatever immigrated to America.
On Emirates flights.
But they're... It's sort of this thing, if you are born in a country, they're considered more American because they were born there, even though their dad might be Italian, than a Puerto Rican that's just moved to America and has an accent.
Yeah.
They'll be considered more American.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're there, they've got their turf, they're kind of, they all come from not great backgrounds, they don't have a lot. So they have their gang and they have their turf and they protect it, and that's kind of their life. And the Puerto Ricans have come in, and there's quite a lot of them, and they're kind of invading on the turf and they're trying to defend the turf. So there's this gang rivalry, and they meet at the gym and they decide, right, we're going to have one, like you were saying, an all-out brawl, a rumble. And after that, whoever wins, the other one will like back off because there's just all this tension. Yeah.
Rumble.
So that's it. Maria is the sister, you should say, of the kind of head shark, Bernardo. And yeah, Tony was sort of in the Jets, but it's kind of grown out of it a bit. And he's got his job moving coke around. Coca-Cola.
That would be a better film.
He's not a drug dealer. But then they all go to the dance. Tony and Maria see each other and it's love at first sight. And obviously Bernardo is not very happy that his sister is trying to get with this white guy. Well, not, you know, not specifically because he's white. He's just not Puerto Rican. She's kind of promised to someone else. And he's from the Jets gang, who they have this intense rivalry with.
Anyway, fast forward, you get to the Rumble.
Yep.
Let's stab each other.
Yeah, so Bernardo stabs Riff, who's the head of the Jets, and Tony's best friend. And then Tony, in a fit of kind of rage and passion, stabs Bernardo, his lover's brother. Which is the same as Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
That's what happens. So it's like Tybalt kills Mercutio, and then Romeo kills Tybalt.
And then in Juliet Romeo. Kills herself.
Yeah, well, the death. Then,
so Maria kills herself?
Well, no, she doesn't in this, does she? We'll get to that. It ends a bit differently.
I'm not sure. I've missed off the end of the film. I
think what happened?
I think I just drank too much at that point.
they have the Rumble.
Yeah.
That happens. Tony goes to Maria, like, asking for forgiveness, and then she's
fine with it.
She forgives him.
With each other
they have sex. And then Tony leaves to wait for Maria at Doc's shop, and they're going to run away together.
Oh, we go back to the outdoor basketball courts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, there's Chino, who's the guy that Maria is supposed to be with. He's got a gun, and he's going around looking for Tony because he wants to kill him. Tony thinks that Maria has died because a message has got... Well, Anita... Yeah, anyway. He thinks Maria's dead. She's actually not dead. They meet up in the basketball court, but then Chino shoots Tony. Tony dies.
Where are they getting these guns from? Ends. Guns are just...
It's just one gun.
Okay, I feel
just
like...
Chino has a gun. Everyone else has knives.
How old are these people as well? They're like 16?
I guess, like late teens, early 20s.
Mm.
Although the actors look older. Some of the actors look like 30.
Look like just a man in a little school but child.
They're all supposed to be like, I guess, early 20s.
So I think you explained that far better than the film explains it. You know, I don't think you can't. It's not obvious. There's not like enough dialogue to kind of go into what people are thinking and what's going on. I feel like you've extracted that from somewhere. That by either just watching it over and over and over, or I don't know, looking at the script at school or something.
No.
No.
What bit of that did you not get?
Like where he gets the gun from, and
I don't know. I don't know where he gets the gun from. He just has it.
And why he shoots her?
Because everyone's like, Maria's with Chino. She's supposed to be with Chino. And Anita's like, oh, when you marry Chino, and Maria's like, oh, but I don't feel anything for Chino.
Yeah, but the mic quality isn't very good. Like,
no, I think it has aged a bit.
It's not like, I don't know, it's not like this. There's a lot of long camera shots of just the same bit where it's almost like people are exchanging lines and someone's just hit record on a camera and they kind of move the camera about a bit. Mm. But it's not like cut to him, cut to him, cut to him. It's not like over the shoulder dialogue where you can kind of understand where someone is emotionally and kind of focus on the words they're saying.
Okay. I do find some of the dialogue is said really quickly.
Yeah.
And they all have these little slang words and are shouting things and like, cool daddy-o, and like just shouting things all the time. And sometimes I don't quite get what they're saying.
Look, can I move into my thoughts?
Yeah, I think we've kind of crossed over into that already. For sure, yeah.
I've got one line doesn't make any sense. Saw in school, only 25. Oh, okay. Right. I saw it in school, but I only saw 25%.
Yeah, you saw like the first bit.
It's one of those, which I think, to be honest, watching it again might be the worst bit.
Oh, I love it, but...
Which it's a pain when you watch it in school because it's like, takes ages to get everyone in, and the teacher's like telling people off, and we're supposed to be watching a film, and it comes on, and then there's like 5 minutes of lines on the screen, and people obviously talking and messing about. They don't care. And then by, you know.
And then it's a load of men dance fighting, which will be showing that to a lot of teenage boys. A lot of teenage boys are not going to relate to that.
And I think it's just that the teacher loved it too much as well.
So you were like, oh, I don't want to like this. It's not cool because the teacher's like loving it.
I mean, if he was a cool teacher, you'd like it. That's the problem.
I see.
It's just, I don't know, he's too into it. He's like, oh, look at this, boys. It's amazing. And then he turns it on and some people are like dancing like aeroplanes over the street. It's not exactly my kind of thing.
I guess not, but the choreography is astounding. Just saying.
So, yeah, we covered the overture. I said, I'm glad I had a laptop in 2019. Why is it so long?
You said, I'm glad I have a laptop.
Yeah, like I had something to do while I was just something on the screen. Right. If it was coming out now, cut that bit out. Maybe Spielberg will.
Yeah, so yeah, Spielberg, I don't think like filming started or anything. I think they're still casting, but apparently Steven Spielberg is doing a new version.
So I put, people are doing normal stuff, but everything takes longer because they're waving their arms about pretending right. to be aeroplanes.
Yeah, but you have this whole issue whenever we watch a musical. You're like, why are they dancing? Is this real? Is this song real? Mm. Like, musicals are just set. You overthink it.
It doesn't make... Like, they're trying to catch someone who's running away, but they just...
But it's a musical. They dance.
They but might catch him if they weren't jumping up and down.
That's not the point. It's a musical. You have dancing in it. Like, don't overthink it and be like, well, practically, you wouldn't dance. You'd just, like, punch him. It's a musical.
Yeah. It's really hard. It's almost like we want to get to the point, but there's all this kind of, like, flump between the actions.
They found a way to kind of incorporate this sort of gritty fighting in a way that translates into a musical, because it's a musical, and turned it into like a musical feature.
Did they find a way, or did they just start waving their arms about?
No, I think from this having decades and decades of success and like devoted fans and critical acclaim, I think they cracked it.
I think we're not going to agree on this. So next point. I was going to say, why are all these places in America all seem to be like fences and concrete?
Because they're living in a crappy bit of New York. Because they're all from like, they're all kind of poor. They're not living on like the Upper West Side.
But just because they're poor doesn't mean they have to go to the like concrete bits.
Yeah, but they say all their parents kind of are nasty to them and say like, get out the house. They're from quite like impoverished, difficult backgrounds. They're kind of directionless. They maybe haven't done well at school. They haven't got good job prospects.
I don't know.
So they're bored. So they're just out and about on the street.
Do they go to school?
I don't know. I don't know if they're at the point where they've like finished high school or dropped out of high school. I'm not exactly sure how old they are. But Tony's like the only one working. So I don't know what the rest of them are doing. This is the point. They haven't got anywhere to go. Anything sort of really constructive to do with their energy, like work or go to school. So they have this gang and it is their life because that's like all they have.
I feel like it's a very specific time problem. Like if it was about now, they'd just pop into McDonald's and go on those little tablets. Like, it'd loads to do on them. Probably Fortnite on them.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't just have kids loitering in McDonald's the whole day.
It happens now.
Probably in some. Let's not talk about like gang warfare today, because I don't know enough.
Look, I don't think either of us know enough, but that's part of the fun, isn't it?
Don't just want to make wild assumptions about young men.
No, okay, but I do think it's specific to the time period. Because
you have problems with gangs today where they have sort of difficult living situations and don't have jobs, and maybe they go to school, but then they haven't got, you know, there's all these cuts that like in sort of youth things and youth clubs, so people will hang out on the street.
Why do people, like, what's wrong with being bored? Why can't they just be bored?
I don't know. You've had quite a nice life.
I have. I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying if it came about today, like, it's a different world.
You still have gang issues today.
I know.
People hanging out on the streets,
but they probably
and, like,
do
people
that,
stabbing
like,
each other.
10% of the time.
I don't think you know. I don't think you know enough of what
matching leather jackets.
The Jets don't have matching jackets. This ain't Greece.
They're not all sad, but I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, okay, let's move on. We don't know enough about gangs.
No.
I thought that the dialogue is not very organic. Like, a lot of the time, it just feels like a sequence of lines. Like, someone will say something, then the next person will, then the next person will, and then they're all laughing.
That is a conversation.
No, because we just did it then, and we were talking at the same time.
What do you mean?
It's like, okay, boy number one, say a line. Boy number two, say a line. All laugh at the same time. Boy number three, say a line. It's like...
It's a play.
It just feels like a bunch of, like, I know, high schoolers doing a play. It's not... I
don't think the dialogue is always the best.
And it's not the words. It's just delivered like I'm not going to say pantomime.
No, but some of the acting performances are really good. Like, I think Natalie Wood as Maria is really good. Rita Moreno as Anita is really good. Bernardo is really good. Some of the others, Riff is good. Some of the others, like Tony, like he's not my fave.
It's not
the performances. I don't think they're the best acting performances.
It's like, I don't know. It's just running through like a sequence.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Of dialogue. It's not like an acted scene. It's usually the bits where the gang's together and like the policeman turns up and starts like. Saying stuff to them, and it's like...
I know what you mean.
Which I think is just...
That's probably just maybe the style of it at the time.
It's a stylistic thing. It is the kind of thing that people could go away and take the script and do in local theatres and things. But, watching it in this day and age... Okay, so I've got where there is a dance. Is it a Victorian basketball court? I think.
A Victorian basketball court? What's a Victorian basketball court? Were Victorians playing basketball?
I've also put they're very, very well dressed for poor people. So at that dance, they've all got, these nice clothes on. I think they've got nicer clothes than I have.
The Puerto Ricans are dressed very nicely.
Yeah, where are they?
The Americans, all right.
I thought they were getting kicked out on the street every day. Where are they popping back, having a shower, having a shave, getting in their nice suit?
I don't know how poor they are. They're just like a bit poor.
Well, they can't be that poor.
One guy's mum is a prostitute.
Probably does all right.
Maybe. I don't know if she's giving her money to her son.
Where they get the suits from? That's all I'm saying.
I don't know.
The candy store is open at midnight. I mean, you say they haven't got much to do, but that place looks really fun. They're playing darts, they're playing all sorts.
Yeah. And that's where they go. That's where they go.
But like Tesco on a Sunday isn't even open till midnight, and that's a mega store.
Mm-hmm.
Like 60 years later.
Okay.
You're not defending these.
No.
I put the love is very shallow as well. It feels like the. I reckon she's known a brother a lot longer than the guy that she's known for 3 days.
I know. It's very, like, lusty. You wonder if things worked out, how long they'd stay like that.
So I'm going to go through all my bits, and I know you're probably dying to say, talk about how much you love the film and these things. I have a word that says good, and then lists a load of things.
Okay.
I put set design.
Okay.
Hair and makeup. Like, for the time, they're very good. Some of the sets look really good.
Yeah, I just find, Tony, I think I said this time, he always just looks like... I know, obviously, they had to dance. I'm sure I've seen things, in documentaries, they had to do it, the dances over and over and over until they were perfect, until their feet were bleeding. But I know Tony always looks when he's got somewhere like he sort of jogged to get there. He's just got this sheen on him, this healthy sheen. He's a very shiny man. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, okay, well, he has been running around. He can have a sheen, but other times not. So let's get some powder on him.
And I've got, set design, hair, makeup, racism issues, women rights, and all the other serious issues.
The serious issues were good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the way that it was, I'm sure there's a lot to unpack, yeah, like in what it's trying to do.
Yeah. And I have something I want to, I'll say it later.
Then I'm going to come into problems now.
We've had loads of problems.
Okay, well, I covered, would this exist today if they just had Snapchat? Would this be going on? I mean, they have different issues.
Why is that relevant? It's not set today. There is no Snapchat. Why have you just said, oh, what if this film was set now? But it's not.
No, I know. It's a bit...
Yeah, in like that, Maria and Tony could be sending, like, dick pics and stuff, but they're not. Because they can't do that.
Okay, it's not,
yeah, they
it's
could
not
just
like
have
saying,
a secret courtship, sending the genitals, but that's not happening.
I'm not saying, like, oh, with Lord of the Rings, we're set in modern day, we could just FedEx the package. It's not saying that. I'm just saying we're talking about, like, real issues that exist.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's almost like fast forward 60 years and it's not the same.
But a lot of the issues in the film, I think, are the same today.
I think we've come a lot... Well, I think we're doing better. Than
yeah,
how
better,
it was
but
in.
Not great.
Oh, I think we've come a long way. Mrs. Negative over here.
Yeah, but we're not... We don't live in Trump's America.
No, we didn't live in New York 60s either.
No.
My negative was that it's too long. As well. It seemed to be very, very long.
It's about as long as a stage show is, maybe a bit longer.
3 hours?
2.5.
2.5?
Yeah.
Could have been... I'd like to see a...
An abridged
version.
An
hour and a half version would be good.
Right.
The knife fight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they were so surprised. They came to have a brawl, like, to end it all.
Yeah.
And were they just going to hope to settle it with punches?
Yeah. Well, the idea, Tony changed it so that rather than them all throwing bricks at each other and stuff.
They were going to throw bricks at each other.
Yeah, you know, they were naming weapons. Did you even watch it?
Yeah.
There's a bit where they're like naming terms and they talk about weapons.
And he jumps in and he's like, guns, knives.
Yeah. So they decide it's just going to be a fist fight between two guys, but then it just like escalates because Bernardo wants to fight Tony because he's getting with his sister.
Mm.
But then he's fighting another guy. And then Tony comes and tries to stop it, and Bernardo's like, no, and then it all just escalates. But I think they didn't want anyone to die.
Right, but these guys
but
are
it
like...
just escalated in the heat of the moment. And yeah, it's not right, and everyone knows it's not right, and they let it happen. That's the thing, Maria says, like, you all killed him with your hate, because they all let it escalate and get to that point where people lost their lives over something, like, really not worth it.
I'm just saying, why are they so surprised when the knives came out? Is that they made?
They're not, because they both prepare for the other side to like double cross them.
Yeah, well, they're not double crossing them. They're not. On
yeah,
the...
no, because they've said no weapons.
Mm.
But there's a bit in the song where it's like.
And what were they hoping to do?
How I don't do you, know. I think win? They just it's there to defend themselves because they both think the other one are like scumbags. They both hate the other side, even though they both think themselves more noble than the other ones. So they're like, well, I wouldn't bring a knife, but I think they'll bring a knife.
Yeah,
so I'm going
to
bring a knife.
Saying. So they're saying that they're going to have a brawl to end it all.
Mm.
How do you end it with a brawl?
Because it would be like a boxing match. It should have just been the two guys. And when one of them couldn't get up any longer, hopefully not dead, just injured. And right. then that the other one would be the winner.
And then they'd go and live happily ever after, would they?
Yeah. Well, no, it's stupid.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. It's they're fighting. The whole fighting, the whole conflict is silly. Because there should be more to life. But both sides are desperate due to their own social issues.
It was an organised fight, and they were shocked when someone got hurt. Like, really shocked.
I think there wasn't supposed to be death. But the way things escalated, it then became kind of inevitable, and they didn't stop it.
There's that really nasty rape scene.
What
I didn't get from that is whether they... Because I thought they hated the opposite side. Yeah, they were almost like they wanted a piece of her. So which is it? Or did they know they're doing something horrible?
I think you can
horrible?
Still...
I suppose it's almost like... I don't know how to
explain it.
It's like you don't respect them. Like,
yeah, they still, I guess, find her attractive, but, yeah, they don't respect her.
And therefore, they can think they can just do anything.
Yeah, like, they wouldn't go out with her, but, oh, if there's an opportunity where I can get my knob in her, I'll give it a go. But I wouldn't take her home to my mum. But, yeah, that, I don't think in the film they actually rape her. I think it gets near that, but it's a lot in the stage show versions I've seen. It's more graphic. That bit kind of goes on longer, and there is like a thrusting action. So I think maybe they had to
with
tone,
all of them.
Well, like they're all stood round, but they push like one into.
Right.
It's like it's really horrible.
It sounds horrible.
So I think they actually tone it down in the film where they put Baby John on top of her. But then Doc walks in before I think anything's happened, but it could have gone that way. It's really harrowing.
The final bit about the, I think, when does it Tony get shot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then do they all, is it explained that they all then become friends after that?
Not.
Because she gives like a little speech.
Yeah.
And they all stop.
Yeah.
And is it then sorted out?
Because really like, maybe more so Maria. Tony is kind of more involved. Obviously, he kills Bernardo, but Maria's not really been... She's come to this country. She's really excited and hopeful. And, like, she's kind of innocent in a way. And they've, like, wrecked her life. Like, in a night, she's lost her... Well, her boyfriend. She's known, like, 2 days.
2 days.
and her brother.
Mm.
And I think then it kind of dawns on everyone... Right, we've killed 3 people. And it's like, they're never going to like, you know, be having barbecues together. But there's kind of this like, we need to stop now before more people die.
Mm-hmm.
And this young lady, we've really upset her. So let's
like
just
if it was a man getting upset though, they wouldn't stop, would they?
Well, if she died instead of Tony, I think that still would have been bad because...
Well, if Tony got up and was like, oh, I'm fed up, you killed people, let's just... Don't you realise what you've done? I don't think anyone would listen.
I think they would if Maria was dead because she'd still be kind of like innocent, got caught in it. You know, she wasn't out like doing rumbles in the street. I think they maybe would have stopped.
Okay.
Or maybe, yeah... If Chino had somehow accidentally killed Maria, then yeah, maybe actually the Jets would have been more hateful towards the Sharks because it's like you've killed one of your own and she didn't even do anything. So maybe it would have been worse. You know, when Chino shoots that gun, somehow it hits her instead. Actually, yeah, maybe, yeah. But it didn't happen, so.
I'm going to kind of cut my negativity there because I've been quite down on it. But I'm not making stuff up. These are questions I have from watching the film. Okay, maybe I don't know all of the details from the things I say.
Because you were drunk.
Yes. But I just... I guess my conclusion is I just don't like the weird sort of like V opening up their arms and things when they like cross the street. I just want them to cross the street. I don't.
But it's a musical.
I've seen good musicals though. It's not that I don't like musicals. I just don't want to. I want them to get on with it. And I don't think opening up your arms when you cross the street is a dance.
It is a dance. They do like stuff with the feet. I can't think of the move.
Yes, walk across the street.
They don't just walk across the street with their arms in a V and no, just toddle across the street. They don't do that. They're like leaping and shit. Sorry.
Sarah.
They're leaping and stuff.
Yeah. That's okay, but that's just my opinion. Okay. Now, go. You can say all the nice things. You have all the things.
Well, so what I would say was saying about is this one of
about
my
half an hour in
favorite. Okay, so I need to wrap up. I do love this film, but it's more like you say. I do think some of the dialogue, the performances, the way it's done. Is maybe a little dated. Like all the songs and the choreography and the overall story and like the sets I love. But to me it's more the bones of it, like that story, those songs. Like if someone said to me, right, this afternoon you can either sit and watch West Side Story, the film, or I can go take you to watch it on a stage, I wouldn't watch the film. Like, I've seen it like 4 times maybe on the stage. I've seen it a few times. And it's better. It's more for me that those kind of core elements, which is why, because it's being like sometimes, like I know I've had a lot of rants about all these live action Disney films and how much they wind me up, because it's like you're just taking a film and making the same film. Like I saw one of the teasers, like there's a longer trailer now, but the first teaser for The Lion King, it was shot for shot the same. Pretty much. I don't know why you're making it.
So you're saying you've seen Romeo and Juliet. Why did they even bother making West Side Story?
No. What I'm saying is I'm kind of excited at the prospect of Steven Spielberg making a new version. Because for me, when it's a musical, because obviously West Side Story was originally on the stage. They've made it into a film, which is like something different. But because it kind of started off on the stage, musicals on the stage are always kind of reinvented. Like it'll be on for a few years and then maybe it'll stop. And then someone else will come in and do a different production with maybe slightly different, you know, order of songs, slightly different choreography. So it kind of always gets reinvented a bit. So you taking The Lion King and just making another film of The Lion King with the weird computer animation that sort of looks like a video game, sort of looks like a shit lion. Like not a real lion, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm like, sorry. No, it looks good. It just does not have the same charm for me at all as hand-drawn animation. But musicals are always getting reinvented. And I think I do love the 1961 film. But I think there are some issues with it. I know some of the parts were not played by like Hispanic actors. Like I think like Bernardo and Maria. So like now there's a lot of issues today with like whitewashing. So I know with the casting, that's something they have to be more aware of, and they're kind of making a better job of now actually like hiring people of that ethnicity where it fits for the film. I think a lot of the issues like around immigration and like, oh, well, my dad's an immigrant, but I'm American, but you've just moved here, so like you're more of an immigrant than me, and like this kind of divisive like us and them, and Trump's America at the moment, very divisive, a lot of people are frightened. So I think it's quite a good time to make it. I think it still works, kind of the social issues are still relevant today, and I think it'll be quite a poignant film to deal with those kind of issues of race and culture in America. And I'm quite excited for there to be a new version.
That's all we got time for, unfortunately. Oh, you want some trivia?
Yeah, let's see if you tell me something I don't know.
During the entire production, the actors wore 200 pairs of shoes, applied more than 100 pounds of makeup, as in weight, split 27 pairs of pants, and performed 30 different recording sessions. Did you know that? Those specific measurements? No.
No.
Hey, number 2. In the scene on the roof, the musical number America, when the girls are mocking Bernardo's speech, one of the girls say, "We came with our hearts open." One of the sharks say, "You came with your pants open." This line had to be changed to, "You came with your mouth open," for the movie because of censorship standards.
She came with her pants open.
Yeah.
Your pants would be down, not open. Or your legs open. That would work better.
Yep.
Came with your legs open.
They're not that clever. But mouth open works as well.
Mm-hmm.
During, which I don't know, it's not really any better, is it?
Well, I don't know if came with your mouth open. I don't think it implies to like put a penis in there. I think it just means you talk a lot.
I didn't know the trivia fact, and I thought that's what it meant.
Oh. I always thought it meant like, because you don't shut up.
Yeah, because you probably saw it when you were much younger than I was when I saw it. During the prologue, the Jets take a basketball from two kids and play with it. Before they walk away, Riff throws back the ball to one of the kids. That kid is Kit Culkin, the father of the two Culkin brothers who are in the movies of the 90s, Kieran and the other one.
I didn't know
that. What's his name?
Kieran and McCulkey.
Yeah, the Home Alone one.
McCulkey Culkin.
What's his first name?
What am I saying? I'm saying like McCulkey. Macaulay.
Yeah, when I stop and think about what his name is.
Because you always just say Macaulay Culkin. Yeah, and then I was like, McCulkey.
Have you heard of that? That kid had to say McCulkey. Mulkey Mulkin. That child star.
Sorry.
Okay, so I hope that wasn't too negative, but you're probably in for some more in the Space Jam section as well. I just had to say those things. That's how I feel about the film.
It's okay.
That's my analysis of it.
Okay.
I hope you understood where I was coming from too.
Yeah. I get that it's not for everyone.
No, it's a hard watch. it's not an easy watch. I'd say Rogue One was a hard watch. You know? Okay. Well, it doesn't mean it's bad.
Okay.
It just means you've got to have some level of commitment and some kind of engagement when you're thinking of watching it.
Okay.
Okay, and that ends that section.
Cool.
Ready for the next film.
Cool, Daddy-O.
And we're back to film number two, which is Space Jam. And I'm going to let the lovely Sarah take over as she guides us through this wonderful film. Another film about basketball. So that's two on the show today.
West Side Story is, basketball features.
Right.
I wouldn't say...
But I would say basketball features in this film too, so...
Well, yes, far more than West Side Story.
Well, take it away. Tell me all about it.
So didn't you watch this film quite recently?
A
couple months ago.
Yeah, a few.
I don't know if I only saw this like once as a child. I had seen it, but it was basically like watching it for the first time. Like I had no memory of it, which makes me think I watched it once when I was like six or something.
Oh.
I've just seen in your notes for favourite scenes, West Side Story, you've just written, "I feel pretty, so pretty."
That's my favourite song. But I think that's because I just think of you singing it.
I do sing it a lot because it's a joyous song. Right, Space Jam.
Let's jam.
Let's go through the plot quickly. Jam. 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
No, I was saying. Okay. Go, I was saying.
Oh, that's what you were doing. Oh, our theme tune. Not the Cowboy Bebop theme tune.
No, the Space Jam theme.
There's a Space Jam theme tune?
The song.
I believe I can fly.
No, in the credits.
Oh, I wasn't. I left the room.
Okay. Carry on. I mean, continue. I mean, start.
So we meet some aliens. Oh no, we meet Michael Jordan as like a kid. Michael Jordan's he's a massive basketball player, very successful.
If you read in the back of the box.
Yes, I'm about to.
I don't think on the back of the box it could say Michael Jordan.
Yours wasn't a very good back of the box. You're like, there's a gang and then they're at a gym playing basketball.
Because you already summed it up with your first line.
Right. There's some aliens. They run a theme park, but they think it needs jazzing up a bit. The visitors are bored, so they decide they're going to kidnap the Looney Tunes to be kind of an attraction in their theme park. So the head alien guy.
I think there are theme parks already doing that, aren't there?
I suppose.
Continue.
He sends his little minions to Earth to get to the Looney Tunes, and they're like, "We're taking you back to Moron Mountain." And the Looney Tunes are like, "Well, we should be allowed to defend ourselves. You can't just take us." And the aliens are like, okay. And these aliens are really tiny. So Bugs Bunny has the great idea to challenge them to a basketball match. Because they were like, well, they're tiny. They'll be rubbish at basketball.
Mm. But this is not back in the box somewhere.
It is.
Okay.
And then the little bugs go off and they to the NBA and they steal some talent from some basketball players. And they come back and then they're like giant and really good at basketball. And then the Looney Tunes are like, dear, this is quite a conundrum. And they decide to enlist the help of Michael Jordan, who's really good at basketball.
Should have got him.
He was retired. So, yeah, they get Michael Jordan's help to beat the aliens so they don't have to go to Moron Mountain.
And Bill Murray.
And Bill Murray's in it, for some reason.
He was in everything, it was just that time.
Yeah. Well, I've got a small bit of trivia on that. So that is the plot, essentially.
What happens? I'm dying to know what happens.
Well, they have the basketball match, and they win.
Yeah.
Well, it's getting, like, close, the match, and then at some point, Michael Jordan said, you know, if you win, I'll come be the thing in your theme park, and you leave the Looney Tunes alone. And if we win, you have to give all the basketball players their talent back.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael Jordan and the Looney Tunes win. And it's all good.
Okay. Sounds like a good film to me. Far less confusing than West Side Story.
Well, I think it's only not confusing because a lot of the plot doesn't make sense.
That would mean it was confusing. Go on.
No, but they just make jumps that...
Fire away.
Okay. So my first issue was, I know Michael Jordan has retired from basketball, but he's trying to play baseball. He's decided I think this happened in real life as well, and then he went back to playing basketball.
Yeah, I wondered this.
I think this goes... But I have to say, being British, I think part of the impact of Michael Jordan is lost on me because I don't know a lot about basketball and I'm not interested. But I know it's massive.
But I know he's really big.
I know. Like,
from Space Jam.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Because everyone else in that film, though, I couldn't name another basketball player.
That's just you being ignorant.
Probably. But also, it's not...
Charles Barkley.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, we heard of Gnarls Barkley.
Yeah. Is that where he got his name from?
Yes.
Okay.
His name is not Gnarls Barkley, is it?
No, I thought that probably isn't his real name.
It's CeeLo Green.
Is that his real name?
I don't know.
Might be. Anyway, no, I know obviously in the UK there are lots of big basketball fans, but it hasn't got the same popularity. It's not as mainstream here as it is in America.
Oh, they should have made a sequel.
A sequel is in the works, I've heard. Space Jam 2.
Basketball's coming back.
Yeah, well, it's not coming... It's very popular, just not in the UK as much. Anyway, so my first issue I wrote is... Why is Michael Jordan eating at McDonald's before playing baseball?
Are we on to issues now?
We're just thoughts.
Thoughts. Why is he eating what?
He sat in a hotel room with the TV on, tucking into some McDonald's, and then Stan's like, we gotta go to the match.
What match?
His baseball match. And I'm like, who eats McDonald's right before playing baseball?
I don't know. You don't have to do that much if you miss like he does.
I guess. But still, if you've like downed a quarter pounder and then you got to run around the pitch, I'd be like chucking up.
I mean, we don't know the time frame between McDonald's and the match, do we?
Yeah. Anyway, and I was like, how many McDonald's does Michael Jordan eat?
We weren't that clued up on nutrition back then. He's massive as well. That probably like 5% of his calories.
He's like 6'6".
Yeah. I mean, okay. Yeah, not the best thing for him, but he probably can't take a lot of food.
Okay. And then there's this whole thing. So the little aliens come to a basketball match and they manage to, like, they slither in to, like, some basketball players, like five of them, and mysteriously, like, take their talent, which is, like, this sort of little glowy worm, and they put it in a basketball. What was my point? And then... It's quite... I did find this quite amusing. There's then this scare because these five basketball players, they kind of lose their coordination. They're basically then just rubbish at basketball. And they can't even... There's a guy who tries to, like, shoot water into his mouth and he, like, misses. Like, they've just got no hand-eye coordination. They're rubbish. Yeah. And then there's this fear kind of all around the country of it. They're trying to figure out if it's some, like, affliction, some kind of, like, disease, and can they catch it? And they go to this team that it says, oh, it happened 3,000 miles away. I don't know if I just missed something, like I talked over something, but they're like, we're not going in the changing rooms, like we're going to get changed in the hall. And the guy's like, but it's fine, it happened 3,000 miles away. And they're like, we're getting changed in the hall. And they put gas masks on and they're like, okay, why is this disease just in the changing room that's 3,000 miles away and not in the hall that's 3,000 miles away?
Wait, are they 3,000 miles
Yes, away? And they're worried about getting a disease, but for some reason think this disease will only be in the changing room and not the hall. Because, so they said, we're getting changed in the hallway.
Did you not? Because I've all seen that episode of Buffy where they put stuff in the steam in the locker rooms and they turn into fish.
It's a specific reference to Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, that's why I like the film so much.
You serious?
No. I think this came out before as well.
This came out in 96. You're full of rubbish.
But wouldn't that have been a good link?
Maybe that's where Joss Whedon got the idea. Maybe Space Jam was his inspiration.
It was a cut scene. Joss Whedon directed a specific scene and then it didn't make it in, so he's like, I'm making up my own.
So, I kind of found the whole, this kind of scare from these aliens taking the power, and then there's this scare in the NBA about it was some disease. I found that quite amusing. But then them putting gas masks on and saying we're changing in the hall, I was like, that makes no sense.
I think it's really difficult when you get, and we've seen it in like shows like The League as well, where you get these sports people in who are just like obviously big cameos in America to someone, but obviously they're just not actors.
No.
So you give them like really weird scenes that almost aren't really that important, but might have some sort of comical value. Yeah.
And
the
I
film.
Guess if you like the same with The League, like all the cameos in The League mean nothing to me because I've known nothing about the NFA.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't...
LeBron James, is he one?
You don't watch it
he's a sportsman.
For the cameo. You don't go, I like no. this because of the cameo.
But if you're into football or basketball, like, you're going to get a bit of a buzz from that, aren't you? You're going to be like, oh, it's that guy. Whereas I'm just like, nah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I guess, but it just adds an extra bit of fun, doesn't it, if there's a cameo. Like, I know who Stan Lee is. He does a lot of cameos. I know who he is.
I bet people who watch Marvel films don't all know who Stan Lee is.
No, but I'm saying I like... When I see the Stan Lee cameo, I'm like, oh. When I see a basketball player, I knew who Stan Lee was before I met you.
You knew what he looked like?
Yeah. Because he does the cameos. And I'm like, oh, that's Stan Lee.
I said before the cameos.
When did they start?
Well,
in Spider-Man?
We'll have to check that fact.
I think he's in everything. Isn't he? Because he's in all the X-Men, isn't he?
Is he?
I thought so.
I don't know. Move on. Move on from this.
So it's not just MCU.
I know.
Okay.
You don't care about sports. We get it. Keep going.
Yeah, and something else I didn't get is, right, they say we're going to play this basketball match to decide if we're taking the Looney Tunes back to Moron Mountain. And then the aliens go off and get big and come back. But they sort of just go, hi, and they have this big sort of show of power. But then the match doesn't happen. And then they're like, oh, we'll get Michael Jordan. Why did they not just do the match then? Why did the aliens come in and be like, ha, look at me, and then just walk off? Why didn't they just do it? They could have settled it all then and kidnapped the Looney Tunes.
Because they're stupid, aren't they?
Like, just did Bugs Bunny convince them to go away somehow? I don't know if I just missed, like, a little bit of dialogue. Because I was like, why are they leaving? I thought they were doing the basketball match. And then Bugs is like, this might be harder than I thought. I'm going to go get Michael Jordan out of a golf
went to go get
ball get hole. But I don't know why there was an opportunity for help. I don't know why they didn't just crack on with it.
I think that was, like, a bit of a warm-up. It was a friendly, wasn't it?
Why are they having a friendly? They're playing for, like, their souls. You don't have a friendly. Right, so that was another thing I noticed.
And then I've written... They're being tricked into the basketball in the first place. You don't think Bugs Bunny can, like, trick them to... Just...
Yeah, Bugs Bunny, like, I did find that funny. He has this book that's, like, instructions on, like, kidnapping or something. I can't remember. And he's like, oh, it's in the rules.
No,
like,
instructions on drawing cartoons.
Oh, yeah, and he crosses it out and changes it. And then he's like, oh, it says in this rule book... And I think the aliens like following orders. So they're like, oh, well, if the book says it, we better let them defend themselves. So that was amusing. I have to say, if I go on to something positive, like, I don't think it's... Is it... The animation looked good with the live action. I thought it worked pretty well.
Watching it now, the lighting is really weird. Everything's lit weird. It's
really
like no matter what environment they're in or like the live actors are in, the shadowing is like always on like one side.
Ooh.
and it's always like really heavy as well, like all the cartoons are being eclipsed like by the sun.
Ooh.
It's like it's kind of like we can't just show what like Bugs looks like in regular cartoons. We got to do something, makes it a bit more cinematic, a bit more filmy.
Yeah, okay.
But they weirdly made them look really odd. It's like in Photoshop when you have that bevel mode. And
they do kind of look too pristine sometimes. Like, I didn't find it as... I preferred the way Roger Rabbit looks.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it looked good, but just something was lost for me.
There's always that era of films always like if there's a new kind of like when 3D like CGI stuff came in, everything just uses it. Kind of feels like a bit like that.
Mm.
Like if they were going to do it now, they would think, ah, what can we do stylistically that would look good? Whereas back then, it's just kind of like, oh, what's trendy now, kind of thing.
Mm.
What or just like, what's the newest technology?
Yeah. And there's just, I think one of my main issues with this film is just I don't like the Looney Tunes.
Why? Why don't you like them?
Just that kind of humour just does nothing for me.
Oh, that's not true. You laughed plenty of times.
Did I? I think I laughed like twice.
That's multiple times.
I can't remember what at. And just bits of the plot like didn't make sense. Like I said about changing the hall, there's a bit where during the basketball match, the monsters, they're all having a conversation with their boss, and Stan, who's like the publicist that's always sucking up to Michael, that guy that gets spat on in Jurassic Park. I can't remember his name. He's just the guy that,
the 90s big guy.
The big fan one, and it spits on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone knows. Yeah, he's like hiding, spying and listening in. And then they're like, I smell a spy or whatever. And they catch him. But then he just runs back in to the Looney Tunes and Michael Jordan looking a bit beaten up and tells them all about them stealing the NBA's talent.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, maybe he's now like a double agent or something. But he wasn't. I thought they got to him. So they're like, oh, we caught a spy. Let's thump him. And then he just runs back to the other side and tells them all the secret plan and how they got so big.
Mm. What else are they going to do to him?
Well, if you catch a spy, you
kill him. It's a bit dark.
I know it's a bit dark. But it doesn't make sense to just like thump him. Like, or at least threaten him a lot, so he'd be too scared to say anything, but he just ran off and told Michael Jordan.
I think if the film had been longer, it might have been better.
No. I was ready for it to be over.
Okay, maybe some scenes shouldn't have been in there, and they could have... I'm just thinking, like, if maybe they say they tied him up, and then usually have that scene where they get free and manage to tell
maybe
them in
tie
time.
Him up, shove him in one of the lockers...
He's
be like, we'll deal with him later
because
he knows our plans. And then maybe someone's walking by and he goes,
that's what usually happens.
And then Bugs Bunny comes in and is like, oh my God, what happened? He's like, I heard them talking and they tied me up. That would make more sense. Don't just thump him. And then he runs back to Michael Jordan like, they stole the talent from the NBA players. I'm like, well, what was the point of that?
I'm saying, so if they had an extra additional scene where that happened,
yeah, or just leave that bit out. Because, well, no, because I guess Michael Jordan needs to know. Like, is that... Because another point I wrote that annoyed me is, how does Michael Jordan know to tell the basketball players they just need to touch the ball to get their talent back? But maybe Stan overheard that.
Yeah.
Because Michael Jordan's just like, touch the ball. And I'm like, how does he know that? How does he know you just touch the ball? And also, Michael Jordan's touching the ball. Why hasn't anything happened to Michael Jordan?
I mean, you're picking apart a film which has Looney Tunes existing, playing a basketball match against space aliens.
Saying it's a bit thin. And yeah, and just silly things like in the real world, like when they go to get Michael Jordan's shorts and like his bulldog Charles knocks down a door.
Charles Barkley.
He just knocks down a door.
Yeah. Dogs can do that, they wreck everything.
Not a little bulldog. Those things can't run.
Charles
They're
can.
Little stocky things.
Yeah.
They can't even breathe properly.
He's got all the powers in his stocky legs.
I don't think he could.
You can't run very fast, but you can knock down doors.
I can't knock down a door. The dog cannot knock down a door.
Your legs aren't stocky enough. That's all that.
It's just silly. And Daffy Duck looks like he's wearing a dog collar. It looks like a vicar.
I think
they like set a chicken on fire and he's... Oh, no, I did like when the chicken got injured. What's the chicken called in Looney Tunes? Or the rooster or whatever?
The one that's like...
He's a big rooster.
From like the south.
Yeah, he talks about chicken. Because he is a chicken.
I don't know.
Well, there's a bit, he gets like incinerated, and I'm like, is he dead? And you like laughed at me. But then like 2 minutes later, he was back on the screen. But there's a bit where he's like a roast on a plate, and he's hooked up to like an IV. I found that quite funny. That's something positive.
I think you would have preferred it if you were just watching the Looney Tunes.
But,
I know you don't like that kind of humour, but I think it feels like everything else in the film made it worse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have written, and I think Michael Jordan knows this as well, because because an obvious thing to compare it to is Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because you've got that live action with the animation. And I've written Michael Jordan is no Bob Hoskins, which I think Michael will admit as well. Just his just his interactions when he gets to Looney Land, Looney Toon, not Toontown, that's Roger Rabbit. He's just sort of like, he's sort of a little shocked for a minute, and then he's just like, what are you? And he's just like, what's going on? Yeah, oh, I haven't got time for this. He's like, oh, it just seems all a bit. Oh. He's not like, what is happening? I know you can't have the shock going on for ages because you need to move on, but he's just sort of like, huh? And then he's like, what are you guys want? Why am I here? I've got to play baseball. And he's just sort of like,
I don't well, think he I'm was here. Becoming a baseball player and an actor at the time. It's not like his foot in the door into Hollywood.
I know. So but he is in a film.
I think a lot of the
scenes. A feature film. And he's the main character.
Sarah. I think a lot of the scenes that you don't like exist because they don't want to give Michael Jordan more screen time.
Like, he's not terrible.
No, he's not. He's just
He's quite bad. But I think he'll admit as well. Well, that's a fair statement. Michael Jordan is no Bob Hoskins.
Well, I think anyone appearing in a film that isn't an actor isn't going to be Bob, are they?
No. But just the way he interacts with them and stuff, it's just not.
No, I mean, you believed it, like when in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
And this, I just, you know, just didn't.
Like, he was on a green screen.
Yeah. Which, I mean, he was, and he's, yeah.
We filmed it over like 2 days on a green screen.
I can't use this computer. I keep scrolling down when I mean to scroll up. Right, there we go.
Keep going. Not long till Game of Thrones now.
Oh my god. Oh god, no. I've got like 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, I start waffling.
God. Oh my god.
You're terrible at keeping time.
Just have a lot of things to say. Right, one issue I have. I don't know if this is controversial. Why do all of the Looney Tunes have a speech impediment?
They're loony.
But, so, because obviously this comes... When did Looney Tunes... They're pretty old, right? So did they all have speech impediments? Were they trying to show that people are diverse? Or are they trying to say speech impediments are funny? Because I think now, if someone has a stammer or something, people are more compassionate. Probably, yeah, like 30 years ago.
Wait, has Bugs Bunny got a speech impediment?
They all have kind of like a lisp. Oh, yeah, you've got the little guy that's got a stammer.
What little guy? Porky.
The guy with the clocks.
Porky Pig.
Porky Pig.
Yeah.
He's got a stammer.
That's just how he is. That's how he's born.
Yeah, but did they put it in because they thought it would be funny if everyone has a speech impediment?
No, I think it's because probably a man sat down and said, how am I going to pretend to be an animal that's a cartoon and not just sound like a man?
Why has a pig got a stutter?
Because probably one guy doing like 20 different voices. He's got to differentiate them in some way.
I just mean, and about most of the rest of them have a lisp. Which is fine. If they're trying to
they're
just
speaking
say...
speaking out of like beaks and stuff. That's why. Do you think Daffy Duck can like move his mouth the same way a human can?
But it's not real. Like, he's not actually a duck.
But that's the point. Like, what if a duck had to say human words? How would it actually project... How would it make those sounds? It couldn't make them in the same way that we can.
When I don't think a... Okay.
Someone probably said, right, I've got... Like, drew down a character and went, how would he talk? And they'd be like, well, his mouth would be stiff like this, so I'm going to try that. People do actually think about these things. It's not just...
Okay, well, I hope it's that and not just like... Because I know probably years ago... Well, I know, like, Jonathan Ross, for example, has a bit of, like, the way he talks... I don't like saying speech impediment. That sounds very negative.
Mm.
But he has a thing with his speech and people like laugh about him, like the way he says his R's. So I just hope it's like that, a creative decision thinking, how would a duck talk? Not like, oh, this needs to be silly. Let's give everyone a lisp and a stammer.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Because it's funny and we can laugh at it.
I think the guys are quite smart who made Looney Tunes. Okay,
this is something I meant to research before the podcast, so I might be talking total rubbish. This is just a thought I had, that I hope there's some kind of creative reason, not just like, lisps are silly, let's give everyone a lisp.
You mentioned it, and I know it's something I never thought about, so it's interesting. Keep going.
Right, trivia, because Game of Thrones, and I've scrolled up again instead of down. Can't use this computer.
You're not very good at invert, are you?
No. Oh, I like that Danny DeVito's in it.
Yeah.
He's just good.
You mean the bit? You mean the character?
Yeah, just he's really good. Okay, trivia about Bill Murray, who kind of, it made no sense in being there, but then I think it kind of, the film, something I did like about the film is it kind of knew it was a bit ridiculous. It kind of, it laughs at itself, which I think is fine. So yeah, there's a bit where Bill Murray, yeah, when he comes onto the basketball court, and I said, how did he get there? And the character asks him, how did you get here? And he says something like, oh, I knew the producer. And it's because he knew the producer of the film. So it's just kind of like basically saying, Bill, we just wanted to stick Bill Murray in the scene for no good reason.
Yeah.
And I also wrote that he accepted the role because I think we mentioned on the Roger Rabbit podcast episode, he regretted not being in that film because he was considered. Okay. So he partly wanted to do this because he didn't do Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Mm.
Poor
Probably
Bill.
Shouldn't have. Yeah.
Yeah. And then my other couple of bits of trivia is, I haven't checked this, but apparently this original Space Jam promotional website is still online, as it was in the 90s. So that's something we can check after this.
The Captain Marvel website was really good. Do you see it?
I haven't seen it, but I heard.
Yeah, almost like a relic of 90s websites. They made that as today's promotional material.
That's good, yeah.
Probably looks the same as Space Jam website looks right now.
Cool. And then just my last one was that critics didn't love the movie, but yeah, it says, I don't know when this article that I've nicked this from published this, but it did have a Rotten Tomatoes score of 36%.
Mm.
But it is the highest grossing basketball film ever.
Good.
And that's it.
Good. When I watched this film, I wanted to play basketball. I wanted to become a basketball player.
Yeah, I think it does paint the sport in a good light.
I had a hoop in the back garden and many basketballs.
Yeah, we had a hoop.
And I played it at school, and it's probably my favourite sport.
Cool. Yeah, I think it is a good celebration of basketball, and Michael Jordan, sort of the team spirit he instills in everyone, is really nice. And then at the end, the little aliens kind of realise they don't have to be stuck under the Danny DeVito character and they can stick up for themselves because they're all really big and they just send them off into space and stay with the Looney Tunes, and that's nice.
What did you think of Lola? Lola's character?
She's alright. I liked her when she said, don't call me doll. I was like, yeah, you tell them. She's a little bit, not just like, I don't know what the word is.
On the Wikipedia, it's a really funny sentence, but I can't, it was something about her being a strong, independent woman.
Yeah, more than others.
I mean, it's about my memory of all these things. I feel like the film isn't as long as there's not enough of anything to kind of expand on it. Like, Lola could be a completely different character if there were 10 more minutes of her in the film, but watching it back now, it's like,
she's barely in it.
Yeah, she steps in, I thought.
She comes in, says, don't call me doll. She plays some good basketball. Bug sort of saves her. Pushes her out of the way when one of the big things is going to fall on her.
And then they kiss.
And she kisses him. That's about it. She's good at basketball. She's like the best, apart from Michael Jordan.
I think she's the only Looney Tune character with boobs.
What? The old lady doesn't have boobs.
I don't know.
That little old lady who's the cheerleader.
Can you?
They're in there.
Are they?
Under her dress.
I haven't seen under her dress.
I mean, she's not wearing a little tank top like Lola.
Well, maybe in the sequel.
I think the old lady has boobs. So the
fun fact I read was that the character designer initially, they needed a female rabbit for some female appeal in the film, basically. And she was very tomboyish and very... They couldn't distinguish whether or not it was actually any different from Bugs, basically. So they made the choice to exaggerate her female qualities, and that's why she's got, like, you know, like round thighs and kind of womanly things.
Oh, sexualizing a rabbit.
I know, but I'm telling you why they did it.
I guess, but then Bugs Bunny doesn't have, like, like a six-pack and, like, big biceps. He's just a rabbit.
But we've established that he is a rabbit and he's a male. It needs to be simple.
She's got tits. Why doesn't he have a penis? Like, it doesn't make sense. This is a rabbit. Let's make her a womanly rabbit. And then you've got this, like, weird little sexy rabbit. And it's just weird.
Because I don't know if... Rabbits do. let's move on from this trivia section.
They're mammals, aren't they?
Yeah. Is that everything?
Yeah, I didn't really want to shout about Bugs Bunny having a penis. I'm sorry.
I'm keeping it in because it's funny.
That sounds so creepy.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Off to the end?
Yep.
Thank you very much for listening. That was the West Side Story and Space Jam episode.
I wonder if those two films are featured on any other podcasts together.
Yeah, that combo.
It's a weird combo.
Only us that are drawing lines between the basketball relevance. Only me.
Breaking new ground.
So if you enjoyed the show, please, you can go to Patreon and support us at patreon.com/goodvibesfilmclub. And you can follow me on Twitter at Cosmic Onion. I'm getting some more followers from this, so...
Oh!
Yeah, some people are listening.
How many are we up to now?
Well, you'll go on my, profile and find out. Maybe you could be another one.
Yeah, I don't have Twitter.
And you can send us an email to fanmail@goodvibesfilmclub.com. I'm thinking maybe at the end of the season we could read them out, depending on how many there are.
Are there any at the moment?
Well, I haven't checked since I started reading. Oh my God. So there could
these
be hundreds.
Poor people have been waiting like 10 weeks for a reply.
And if you did like the show, then please leave us a review on iTunes or just
reply to my email.
Tell your friends. It really, really would make a massive impact on us. Just a small review, or Sarah's waving her arms because Game of Thrones is going to start. So
4 minutes.
The next two films that we'll be doing will be
Howl's Moving Castle.
And
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, of a Spotless Mind.
Of a Spotless Mind. Yeah. Which I've never seen. I've been meaning to watch for many years, so that's exciting.
You will enjoy it.
Thank you.
And I hope our listeners at home do as well.
Excellent.
So that's all until next time. We'll see you in a week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hello.